of noise there. You doing all right?
Ashes, how are you? I haven't heard from you in a few days. How are you handling it?
I'm fine. The doctor, I had a virtual visit. What's today? Friday, Wednesday, and he said, you know, I could resume my normal activities Saturday, tomorrow. So, but my wife has it, and it's hit her pretty hard. I'm sitting in line at the CVS to get her something for pneumonia.
Hear that? Is she at the hospital? Is she at home?
Home. But she just has a mild COPD, and so it's working on her a little bit harder than it is on me, than it did on me.
Like the priest, are you more like asymptomatic carrier, or did it knock you out any at all?
I mean, I was real achy for 4 days, you know, like you are when you have the flu, but I never ran a fever and never had any chest congestion. It was all in my head. I thought I had a cold. So, yeah, I mean, I was playing tennis with it. So, oops.
Well, it hit you that bad. I was kind of worried after I didn't hear from you for a couple of days.
Well, you ain't going to get rid of me that easy. And if I, well, I'm next in line here at the CVS, so I may have to go in a minute, but it's taken a while to get to where I am. They're not, it's not like the drive-thru at Bojangles or something.
4DJC.
Yep.
I'm in line and got out and all that stuff by now. Dave, good morning to you. I hope you're doing fine today.
Text if I got it. And I was downstairs doing a flight, you know, up in the, it's too foggy to do a flight, but I heard you guys talking, and I just finished those three flights, and I came upstairs to start processing images, and heard David throw his call out before I came upstairs, so I figured I'd just check in and see how he was doing. When I came in, when you guys were talking, you had already discussed that, so I never did hear how David was doing, but it's good to hear that he's not doing too bad, and his wife is... not doing that bad either. At least she's able to be at home. She's not like in an ICU unit or anything like that. That's good news. That'd be 4DJW.
4CPA. Yeah, she's, you know, she's just having a rougher time. She's running a fever and coughing a good bit and you know, achy and all that. So she's just going to have a tougher time with it than I did. I hope it doesn't send her to the hospital. I hope it doesn't get that bad.
Either. I'm only running 10 watts. I don't know whether I'm getting in the machine okay or not. But I hope not. I hope she doesn't have to go to the hospital. That's a test tough if you do. But hopefully the antibiotics will help. Knock some of that stuff out. If she does have pneumonia, it's probably a good idea, especially if she doesn't usually take them. They seem to work pretty well, especially the heavier duty stuff. And Dave, you been out flying this morning off the back porch?
I've gone out there 3 or 4 times and looked up, and rain hit me in the eyes, so I came back upstairs. In between meetings, if I've got 10 or 15 minutes, I can go out there and get a flight in and make some 360-degree pictures out of it. But, David, thank you, lucky stars. My wife had somebody they had to fly to Durham, emergency,
and she's in her 30s, and she wasn't doing well at all. So they had to fly her yesterday over to Durham Emergency. They had to back her out. And there's a guy that is a friend of one of my friends at work. They didn't have any room for him at the hospital, so they sent him home with 4 bottles of oxygen, and he had to lay on his stomach and breathe oxygen all day, just trying to keep his oxygen level up. So it sounds like you guys made out pretty good compared to those people.
Yep. Yep, that's true. Well, I just kind of thought today, I thought yesterday was kind of her worst day, and I thought today she would probably be a little better, but she's not, so I'm kind of disappointed, but we'll just have to take it day by day, and hopefully this antibiotic will help, and I think they're trying to get her a steroid, too, so that would help. So anyway, we'll just, I'll just keep playing nurse.
That's good. And usually, my doctor always has me just give me a spare supply of prednisone. I've only taken it maybe once or twice over the last 10 years, but they always give me a little pack, and also give me a Z-Pack to have on hand in case I get my bronchitis starts acting up and I'm not close to a doctor somewhere. But hopefully she'll perk up once they get the meds in her. Tell you, flying from the sunroom sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah, Jerry, what sounds like a good deal?
From the sunroom sounds like a pretty neat deal to me.
Don't get cold. The wind doesn't blow on you. You don't get wet. You have to walk out there and hold your hands out and land in the palm of your hands and then walk back in when you're landing. You have to take it out there and set it on the deck before you take off. And kind of have to watch when you lift off and go fly over the railing and out into the open backyard. Wait for the number of GPS connections to be sufficient to where that it can set a home point. And then put it in sport mode and blast off vertical. Go vertical at about 30 miles an hour. So you get to about 400 feet, and when I did it a minute ago, it was white out. I couldn't see anything but white. I had to point the camera straight down to see the ground. I had to lower it back down. And I didn't realize the clouds had dropped. Earlier this morning, it wasn't like that. Earlier this morning, I could see the horizon 400 feet. And I had to drop it down to 200 feet to be able to see underneath the clouds the last go around, which makes for some really poor quality 360 degree photos. You ever looked at a 360 degree photo?
Anyways, I don't think so. But that sounds neat. Maybe when this thing calms back down and get out, so I'd love to see that. See how your drone system, how your drone setup works. David, I hope you're next in line. If not, maybe you got your stuff by now.
Be talking to the window. Hopefully he is. And he'll come back after he gets out. Let me see if I got it. He's talking to the window. If you've ever looked at Martian pictures, pictures of Mars from the rovers that rove around on Mars' surface, and you can grab them with your mouse and spin them around, you can look up, you can look down, just by clicking the picture with your mouse and dragging your mouse from one direction or the other, you can spin them. That's what a 360-degree photo is. And with one of the multirotors, it's got a panoramic view that takes 46 snapshots, and they're the inside of a sphere. For all 46, if you stitch them together, it would be like looking on the inside of the sphere. The other one, you have to do it manually. You rotate it 90 degrees, you point the camera straight down, take a picture, rotate 90 degrees, take a picture, rotate, and you do that 4 times, point straight down, then you raise the camera up, and you only rotate it instead of 90 degrees, you rotate it 45 degrees. And you go 360 degrees for that, then you rotate it up another 30 degrees, do it again, another 30 degrees, do it again, and then you get the inside of the sphere. Stitching software, you stitch all of that together and it makes one big picture. And then you make sure the aspect ratio is 2:1, and then there's this viewer called PTGUI, PTGUI viewer. you load the picture up into that, you can see 360 degrees around in circles, up, down, whatever direction you want to see. Pretty cool stuff. You can even zoom in and out.
Fish eye without fish eye distortion.
You zoom, the more distorted it'll get, and the further in you zoom, the grainier it'll get. But it's surprisingly, that dynamic range of between fisheye and grainy, you know, too far in, it's just like I can see the water towers in Greer from my house. I can see Lake Robinson. I can see the shadow of the trees on Lake Robinson from my house. At the same time, I see the water towers that are downtown Greer. At the same time that I can see Greenville Tech campus. At the same time that I can see the mountains, Glassy Mountain, Ferris Mountain, Caesar's Head. It's just pretty cool. From 400 feet up, you can see a lot, or a long way, and the camera quality is such that it takes a lot of zooming to get granular, to get grainy. W4DJW.
I'd like to see some of those. Like I said, I turned my power down to 10 watts. I don't know if I'm getting in the machine okay or not still. Trying to see if I can get by on 10 or not. I've been running 25 on the Ringo, but I'm running 10. I think it's 10 is what I'm running now. That sounds pretty cool to me. I've seen some of that stuff, but I just hadn't been into it. I hadn't really looked into it. My brother-in-law does a lot of that sort of thing. He's a big a photography guy, and I'm sure he does some drone footage. He does some stuff through DOD, but I haven't seen him in months and months now, so I have to ask him what's been going on with him, see if he's doing some of the things similar to what you are. But it sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, especially to people get that panoramic view like that. And if it's detailed, that'd be great. I don't think I've seen anything like that. I've seen them stitched together 360s, but I haven't seen them stitched together the inside of the spirit thing, I don't believe.
And I'm running 5 watts. Let me know if that's too low of power. I am crossbanding. I'm running like a couple of milliwatts on a handheld to a crossbander that's doing 5 watts out. So if that's too low, let me know. I can go crank it up if I have to. But yeah, it is a lot of fun. I just need to make it so that I could do that and sell them to where like a construction site wants to see lapse time photography over months inside a 360-degree photo. I'm just thinking about ways to do that. You got to go get your pilot's license, Part 107, for a remote pilot, which isn't that difficult. You got to do that, and then you can monetize it. Until then, it's just pure learning, right? You can't even put them on YouTube because FAA considers YouTube as monetizing, so you can't even upload them to YouTube because of that. But you can, learn. You can't go through the learning process until you get ready to do more with it. And eventually I want to turn it from taking pictures in to 3D modeling. Like they pay really good for modeling towers, cell towers. They want a 3D model that's very, very accurate. So instead of taking pictures of it, you do LiDAR and you take scans of it. And then you turn that into a lightweight 3D model that they can use in a computer system to validate that their tower is what they think their tower is.
Now you're solid into the machine, just a teeny tiny bit of white noise, but the audio is great on it. And a little bit of AC hum, or it sounds like AC hum every once in a while. It may just be the way you turn the handy talkie or something since you're cross bending. But I'm trying to run about 10 now and to see if I can get in okay. I'd run as little as possible. I'm running a 2300 right now. It doesn't get real hot until you turn it up to maybe 65 watts, but I try to keep it so I'm solid, so I'm not using too much power. I don't need to run any more than you have to, and that's the way it is anyway. But that sounds like that'd be a lot of fun. I can imagine going through all the you have to get through a lot of incantations to get it to do all those things for you correctly. But I'm sure it's a lot of fun. It's really that's always like anything else. It's always a good learning experience.
JB4CBA.
David.
I think some people just finally gave up. But anyway. I got my stuff, and I'm pulling in the garage. I was just going to say adios to y'all, and thanks for keeping me company while I was sitting in line. I heard about you taking your, what are those things called? I never can think of them. Anyway, so, and taking pictures, so have fun with that. And I'm going to go inside and get her started on this antibiotic. 73 is showing KB4CPA.
Wish you well, Dave. This is Tom in 0TR.
Hey, Tom. See you later.
Dave, glad to hear you and your wife are doing okay, and you guys take care and be safe. Good to hear you're doing well. 74DJ, I think. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I hope you continue to do well, and hope everything works out. Just keep us in the loop. And 4DJ, say, Tom, how you doing this morning? You heard anything from Rusty?
I heard he was doing all right, and I think the people from the church were bringing him out food and setting it on the porch for him. And she said somebody was anyway, so I would assume it was his church. But we're getting ready to transition out to the truck. Boy, listening to DJW talk about his friends, and oh my, this stuff, it's a crapshoot. We're going to go to Tractor Supply. There's a lot of people in there. We won't go in, but we're going to transition out to the truck now, so I'll catch you in a little bit. And that sounds fascinating about those pictures and the drone, Dave. Send it over to you, and I'm going to go ahead and skip out here to the truck. W4DJW and 0TR.
You and Bernice, be careful out there, because it can get bad. Stay safe. Stay away from that stuff as much as you can. We're trying not to go out, but just what's required. But it is getting old, because we're working on going on a year doing that now. And that takes a lot of discipline. Over to you, Jerry, W4DJW.
Play for a second. Do I have it? Yeah, this time you guys be careful. I said we may have to go back out today, too. We try to limit our exposure to maybe twice a week at the most, but with Monday being a holiday, we're going to have to take our stuff down to the convenience center to unload the boxes and other stuff I've been saving up, quarantining, to get rid of, and some other stuff, too. Because I think it's open till 6 tomorrow. I don't know whether it'll be any better tomorrow or not. But there sure have been a lot of people out there the last couple of days. I just hadn't. We haven't been out since Wednesday, I don't think.
He might be in transition. He might be QSL and out of the truck, Jerry.
But so you've been busy today, Dave, or it's been sporadic?
We got a really early start this morning, 6 a.m. start, and kind of blew out. Got a really early start, and then it just blew out all of a sudden, and it's been kind of like coasting. I hope it stays that way the rest of the way. I hope it doesn't get too exciting before the long weekend.
Every time we've been out, we don't eat out or anything, or even to get carry out right now. But the last few times we've been out, it's been packed wherever we went. My wife usually goes and does the shopping, and I stay in the car. She's very meticulous about how she handles stuff and wears gloves and the whole thing. And then we keep everything as clean as possible, which is beneficial, I think, in other ways, too. It keeps, because if you get the flu now, if it gets bad, then it's just tough, because, they got all the beds filled up with COVID patients. If you get pneumonia from any of the strains of the flu, it may not be as bad, but it's dangerous as you get older.
There in case Tom made it out of the truck. That's the real bad thing, is that there's no beds. I had to send my friend's friend home. with oxygen tanks and tell him to lay on his belly and breathe that oxygen and monitor his oxygen level to get it back up. It went below 92. Went down. Well, it was at 92, and it went down to 85. And he's got to breathe oxygen as long as it's below 90. He's got to stay on those tanks, and there's just no room for him at the hospital. So that's the key. They don't need a hospital until the peak is well past it.
Stay out of hospitals. I don't like them anyway. Anytime you go in there, you always have some type of risk for, you know, other type of issues as well, not just this thing, but there's always these all kinds of MERS virus or whatever it is, this infection, you know, and I just, you know, I've got a couple of things I need to have done, but I'm just not going to have anything done until this thing clears up well enough where I feel more comfortable about going in. And my doctor does virtual visits anyway. My wife's doctor does too, so we minimize them. You know, we go about twice a year, and that's about it. But still, I don't like being in offices. But luckily, my doctor schedules us. If I do have to go in, I'm the only person in there, which is good. At least it minimizes the risk.
N0TR mobile.
Migrating between the house and the car or the truck. It sounds like you're on your way. Yeah, Jerry, that's the same. I've been lucky, knock on wood, I haven't had to go to doctors very often, and I haven't willfully gone to a doctor not needing to go to a doctor, but I know the older I get, the less I'm going to be able to maintain that status. I think I've been three times, a shoulder, a sinus infection, and one other thing in the last 40 years. I think I've been like three times. Yep. I know that average is going to start going up. So go ahead, Tom. W4DJW.
Oh, sitting here trying to get off of Brown Road onto Superhighway 101. Man, ain't like the old days, Dave. Well, we got some new girls coming, eight of them. January 29th, so I thought maybe with the cruddy weather, there might be fewer people in Tractor Supply. We actually need some sand over at Lowe's, but we'll just play it by ear and maybe not go there. We tried to keep our distance from everybody and go real early or real late usually, so this is kind of out of character today. Well, Dave, I wouldn't think you could have got any pictures this morning with the weather conditions being what they are. I'd be afraid of losing my drone.
Tom, the most interesting time to get pictures is when the sun is coming up and when the sun is going down. And the reason for that is you get those rays of sun that are cutting through either the subdivision, through the houses, right? You can see it going around the houses or over the road or through the trees or tipping the tops of the trees. And early in the morning, you get up, the sun is up before, if you go up 400 feet, if you wait till the sun comes up and you go up 100, 400 feet, you're way past sun up. Because sun up for 400 feet is different than sun up is for on the surface. So I was able to get that this morning, and sometimes you can see the lights for long distances too. That's kind of cool at nighttime. You think it's nighttime, but it's about to transition from daytime to nighttime or nighttime to daytime. So that's the most interesting time. But this morning it wasn't foggy. Now it's foggy. Now the ceiling is right about 200 feet. And anything up above that is just all white out. Anything below that, you can only see from 90 degrees down. Go ahead, Jerry. W4DJW.
Yeah, Dave, I don't know what your elevation is, but 400 feet above your elevation at your house is, you know, that's probably a good bit. And above sea level, so 400 feet is, I mean, that's pretty high. You can see a lot of stuff as you, I know when we travel up to go fishing or up and through Walhalla, when we get up above about 1,000 feet, I mean, you can see everything. There's one little stop on the way up there, you can just kind of pull off the side of the road, you can see seat, you know, downtown Greenville stuff. I mean, it's just when the weather's clear, that is, and on the other side, you can see just as well, too. It's one of those deals where you can get up there and hit about every repeater in the area on 4 or 5 watts. But that's 400 feet pretty high. But like you said, the ceiling must have dropped down. It's okay here now, but about an hour or so ago, it was pretty dark.
What is the decibel level on that, I might ask? And do the neighbors notice it, or is it just pretty quiet? Or once it gets up a little altitude, you can't even hear it at all.
Which one I'm flying? The hexacopter. It's pretty high decibel. They would hear that one. The quads. I got two small quads that'll fit in the palm of your hand. And those, you get 30 or 40 feet away from them. If you listen real hard, there's no cars going down the road and nobody's air conditioner is running, you can hear them. But you couldn't tell what direction it was coming from. You could just hear the noise. But you gotta know it's there. You gotta be listening for it. All air conditionings in everybody's house have to be stopped. No cars can be running. There are no trucks can be traveling. No motorcycle can be revving their engine or you won't hear them. They're just gone. But, they're capable of going much higher than 400 feet before the FAA put a restriction on it to 400 feet. Like Steve and I went up 2,400 feet with a J3 Cub and put an ICOM crossband repeat handheld inside of it and tried to do crossband repeat from 70 centimeters straight up, 2 meters out. But as soon as that 2 meters at 5 watts keyed up, it blanked out the receiver on the aircraft. And it started doing spirals coming to the ground, so that didn't work. Nowadays, that would work because you got 2.4 gigahertz instead of 72 megahertz. So back then, it didn't work. Now it would work, but now the FAA won't let us go that high. But Tom, to answer your question, the little ones that I'm flying around here, nobody can hear it unless it's really, really quiet and they're sitting out on their deck drinking some coffee and nothing else is making a sound. Then they could probably hear it if they strained.
For a second there. Well, that's great, Dave. I know our Generac is 74 decibels, I think. And I think they might even make them quieter now. That's a big factor in choosing one of them. But that's interesting. I've thought about doing that. I got a little cheapy one. But, you know, if there's even a breeze outside, you're in trouble.
And, Dave, with those small drones, which ones the small ones do you like that are reliable and have pretty decent, that'll maybe a little easier to fly than some of the other stuff is?
There's two of them. And, Tom, yeah, the little cheap ones, David, CBA David, brought one out of the airfield one time. The wind was blowing about 15 or 20 miles an hour, and it blew it off into the trees, and it was gone. So those little, really cheap ones, they won't do it. You need one that will stand up to like a 30-mile-an-hour wind. And in order to stand up to a 30-mile-an-hour wind, you got to be able to do better than 30 miles an hour, right? Because you're actually flying 30 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour wind to stay still. There's two of them that DJI makes. One's called a Spark. That was the first one that my wife got me about 4 years ago for a Christmas present. And the other one's called a Mavic Mini. And it's less than 250 grams. It weighs less than 250 grams, but it'll do 30 miles an hour pretty easy, right? So it can, and when you're looking at it on the visual, it sends a video signal back to you, so you're watching what it's doing. And it's got an artificial horizon, much like a real airplane, so you can see your wing where you're level and when you're not. And when you go up and you're flying and you're not moving, you're hovering, and the wings are banked at 30 degrees, they're banking at 30 degrees to keep you over the spot that you lifted off from. If you start wandering from that, you have a distance indicator that says you're 1 foot away from where you launched. You're 5 feet, you're 20 feet, you're 30 feet. If that distance starts growing and you're not moving, that means now the wind is so high that you're going to have to dive and go forward to get back to where you started, and you should not be flying because you have to have some altitude to dive to go forward to get back to where you were. But as long as the wings are banked at 30 degrees, you're staying less than a foot away from where you launched, then you're able to maintain your position.
This is N0TR Mobile. Oh, thanks, Dave. That's super interesting. Jerry, I might add that Costco's has a great selection of those over there. They're pretty good, used to. And they sell, I believe it was the Mavic. And some of them now are down in the $300-$400 range. But for a long time there was at least nine. But sounds like great fun. Anyways, and all your flying experience makes it even better, Dave. With fixed-wing aircraft and model airplanes and that. I'm sure you guys would be better at it than I am. Anyways, I'm going to sign. I'm at Wade Hampton. Too much traffic. Got to pay attention here. Jerry, go ahead and take it. This is N0TR73. And good morning, gentlemen.
You and Bernice have a good day today. Be cautious out there.
Stay safe. Be careful. Stay away from that COVID. That'd be 4DJW.
Do those Mavic Minis, do you have to get by a separate transmitter receiver for it, or what's the deal with those? Are they basically ready to fly?
I have many different combos that you can purchase. The basic, the one that my wife gave me for Christmas, not this past year, but last year, you get one battery. The batteries pop in and pop out. You get one wall wart charger for that battery. That's a 5-volt charger that probably takes about 3 hours. I've never used one, but it probably takes about 3 hours to charge. And you get the transmitter, which needs a smartphone to be plugged into it, and that's where the brain comes from. It's a smartphone and the app that you're running that has a video transmission receiver on it, so that it can see what the drone is or the multirotor is sending back to you. Those you can get for about $400 or $500, and that's just the basic kit. You got to wait 4 hours between every 20-minute flight to be able to charge it up. Or you can get one that's called. You can get one with a Flymore package. The Flymore package will give you like 3 batteries and a rapid charger, so that you can charge batteries at the same time, and that way you can fly as long as you want to, because it'll charge them as fast as you can fly through them and drain them. And because it's only 250 grams, it flies about 20 minutes. And 250 grams is the cutoff point for the FAA for needing to register it. If it weighs more than that, you got to register it. If it weighs that or less, you don't have to register it. In either case, whether you have to register or not, you still have to follow all the FAA rules. So you still have to know what all the rules are. There's not a whole lot of benefit between having to register and not having to register. You might as well register if you're going to fly with FAA, and that way, to register, you have to know a certain amount of FAA requirements, and that way you stay out of trouble. That'd be 4DJW.
Mr. Graham's pretty light. That's what, about 10 ounces maybe? About 8 or 9 ounces maybe.
Light. Super lightweight, and it's incredibly strong for how lightweight it is. You just would not think it would be that strong. But when I put it into sport mode and I kick the forward stick all the way forward, that thing will go ramp up to 30 miles an hour in about 5 seconds, and it's there. And it just doesn't weigh much of anything. And the batteries are only like two of those, a little larger than a AA size, inside a hard shell plastic container. It's called a smart battery because it's got some brains with it. It knows when to charge which cell so they don't get out of sync. It keeps them in sync at the same voltage level. And it counts how many times they've been charged or discharged. And if they start getting to where it can't keep them at the same voltage, it'll tell you and it won't let you use it anymore. So it's pretty good technology. Really good technology.
I'm going to have to dig into that. So you don't really need to, all you need to have is a smartphone basically and books. So just have a few $100 and I said, is that something a beginner could fly, Dave, or is that just too advanced for a beginner?
You could do that if a beginner takes their time and reads all the instructions and does what it says to do and doesn't try to go too fast. A beginner could do that. A beginner could also have a flyaway with it if they're not paying attention to everything. everything that it teaches. You got to take it slow. Like a lot of mine, before I started flying multi-rotors with flight controllers on it, I flew them in my shop with no props on them, watching the feedback that you get without the props on it when I manually tipped it one way or another so that I would know what to expect. So it's not like you go out there and you don't know what to expect. It's like you study it enough to where you know what to expect when you get out there, and if you do that, then you'll be safe. If you just get it, charge it up, take it out there and try to fly it, you'll probably crash it.
That sounds like a good plan to see what, how the controls operate on it without it being able to destroy itself, or having whoever's flying to destroy it one or the other. I was just curious about them. I know my son's got a couple of helicopters. He can fly them. He's got these little cheap ones. He can fly them about anywhere, make them do all kinds of things. But my dexterity is not as good as his is by a long shot. But he can fly it inside the house and does a lot of things with it. I know, you know, I can do it, but it takes me a little. I'm a little slower on the trigger than I used to be.
Let's say the accelerometers replaced the gyros that the helicopters. The helicopters used to use gyros, and they had some really, really good gyros, really strong, really fast acting. But they can't hold a candle to an accelerometer that's on a printed circuit. And so the accelerometers, the barometers, the temperature sensors, the pressure sensors, all of the different sensors, the optical sensors that are used to see where the ground is, the GPS. Horizontal dilution of precision is removed because it won't let you fly until the HDD, horizontal dilution of precision, is low enough to where it actually knows where it is. That was biting a lot of people in the early days because you might have 6 GPS connections, but each one of them might have, it's so low on the horizon that the precision is just so diluted that, a fraction of an inch will look like a mile, right? And it'll try to take off and go a mile away from where it is now to be where it thinks it should be. They don't let that happen anymore because the software is a whole lot better. It can detect that and eliminate that before it becomes a problem. So, yeah, I'd say if you take your time and you get one of those like the Mavic Mini that's 250 grams, you could be very successful with it. And, you know, once it locks up with enough GPS coordinates that don't have any horizontal dilution of precision, it's steady as a rock if you take your hands off of it. So if you get in trouble, take your hands off the six and calm down, and then just bring it down slowly, right? And you can land in your hands with them. That'd be 4DJW.
Fly in the backyard anyway, but I probably could. I got a few power lines in the back, low power lines, but I don't seem to have too much problem locking on to multiple GPS satellites here, though. I guess because I don't have any trees around. I don't have any trees in the backyard or front yard. I don't have too much trouble locking on to GPS. I think I can get 5 or 6 at least when it pops up on the radio on April's anyway. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, Dave. My wife's going to be downstairs and see what kind of stuff my wife's gotten into. She sounds like she's been doing some stuff, getting ready to us to go down to get rid of some of those boxes we got piled up. But it's really great talking to you as usual, and I'm going to have to delve into this a little deeper and see what's out there. But it's always nice to hear from an expert on it, find out what the lay of the land is. You can go just as fast in the wrong direction as you can in the right direction sometimes. But anyway, thanks so much. Enjoy talking with you. We'll talk to you a little later on today, hopefully. W4DJW and 4DJC clear after you.
I hope you do decide to go pick one up. Like Tom said, you can buy those out of the stores near here, or you can get them. You can order them online any way you want to do that. But the 250 gram or less one is the easiest route with the Fly More package, so you don't have to wait forever between flights. But anyway, take care, stay safe. Good talking to you. 4DJC, W4DJW.
In 0TR.
Where you headed, brother?
W0TR. W4, never give up.
W4NGU in 0TR. Well, good afternoon. Well, 12:12 p.m. By golly, it is afternoon. Let me mute that radio. We are going over the dips behind lows here. Oh, we're going the back way home. I turned off down there at the Dairy Queen. Less traffic. We just went to Tractor Supply and got some chick starter for the new girls we're getting on the 29th, and some bird seed for the birds out there in the cold, Phil. How's your day?
Doing good. I'm headed home, and Tractor Supply will be a visit I make later today to that new store. And I get me some freebie giveaway stuff. Look it over. It's a nice location they've got and plenty of land, so it's going to be good for them. I'm positive in that high traffic Boiling Springs. And I doubt it's 2 miles up the street from me. It's probably a mile and a half. But that'll be fun. But headed home, I'm going to get me some lunch and pick up my daughter, and we're going to go pick up her car. Somebody hit and run her while it was parked, and Allstate's supposed to have it all fixed up, so we shall see.
Well, that's what we got, it's Allstate. Where do they send repairs to, Phil? And what, of course, I guess it depends on what kind of car it is.
They deal with collision. Caliber collision, and they've got I think a couple in Greenville and one in Spartanburg at least, and I probably pay a little bit more with Allstate. I've had it all my driving life, but I like the way they do it now. They don't have a guy come out and do an estimate, which is always low, and give you a check, and then you're always fussing with who's fixing it. It's not enough, and, you know, it's just, they finally got the message, and you go to, they don't give you a check anymore. You just go to Caliber, and you don't pick it up till you're happy. If you're not happy, you tell them to do it over, and you'll be back next week. And that's the way I like it, and I've dealt with them now over the years, 3 or 4 times, Caliber, that is, and they try to keep you happy because they want to keep that Allstate contract.
Makes sense. That's kind of the way Bernice and I have settled on it. We have all of our insurance and house insurance and everything through them. And I know they're probably a little bit more, and I get all these estimates at times from other companies that wanting you to get estimates that I don't do. And I've heard that USAA is real good from Jim, K9JDP. But when we first moved down here about a year or two after we were here, we had a hailstorm hit and did a lot of damage. And they just stepped right up and took care of everything. So we kind of feel the same way as you do. And I think I'd rather pay a little bit of a premium and get the right service, because I know one time we had some hail damage, and we had, was that Farm Bureau or Farmers or something, Farm Bureau? And they sent a guy out, and you know, oh, no, there's no damage to it. And there was. It was obvious. And so that ended many, many years of dealing with them. Mom and Dad had American Family, and that was a good one. But I'm just going to stick with this one like you. I'm just not a person to change quickly. And there is one of those repair places down towards the city, I guess you'd say, from us on White Hampton. And I've seen that that sign, I'm pretty sure, Phil.
Yeah, it's right in front of Texas Roadhouse and used to be Discount Tire. That's the same building. I passed it yesterday and noticed that's where they were.
Yep, that's the one. Well, we used to go to the Roadhouse, but of course, we don't go out to eat now. But the Tractor Supply today, we figured we'd go down there while it was crummy weather. Usually we go real early or real late. but there was only like one or two other people in the store, and we got our stuff and boogied out of there.
That's good. That's a nice store. Yeah, I'll state, there's not a whole lot of difference, but I don't know. I've just been with them so long. They wanted a bunch of money to insure her ring, so we had to go somewhere else. And, I knew an agent from, I guess I was 9 years old, and was with him for many, many years, and then he passed away, and then we found a guy in Taylor's there. And so we'll just stick around, but I do like the way they do it now. Like I say, is no check. The way they used to do it, they'd set out a guy. He wasn't 7 feet tall, but whatever he lacked being 7 feet was not enough to talk about. I mean, that's really about how tall he was, and he was kind of imposing, and this is all it's worth, and you know, you'd have to fuss with him, and people don't like that. They pay premiums. They want to get results. My dad was in the life insurance business and for about 66 years, and he said, such a clean business. He said, the guy's either breathing or he ain't, and if he's not, we cut a check.
Yeah, Bernice laughing on that. This is in Gerald TR. I think that'd be kind of a seamless transition there. shoot. Well, we go to Drew Scott is who we go to, and if we have any questions, we just call down there. But boy, it costs a ton of money for insurance anymore. And, you know, we don't drive that much, and we don't go on big trips and that, and so that even gives you more of a discount if you drive under a certain amount of mileage in a year and you're retired. And I'd like to drive a little bit further, but I don't know. We're not up to long trips anymore, Phil. If I'm going on a long trip, it's going to be at 500 miles an hour.
You go to the same agent down there, dealt with him for a good while. Charlie and Easley, I don't remember what year he died, but we converted over to Drew.
Fine people, and he has fine staff there. And never had an issue with them. And as you say, that means a lot. And I don't mind paying good money for good service, and hopefully we don't need it. I'll tell you, driving around here anymore is getting almost as bad as riding a motorcycle.
Come on, here's a guy walking out in the road, Highway 11. Let's get out of the road, buddy. South Carolina and North Carolina have high accident rates. In Georgia, just the south around, you know, I don't know why, but you can take it for what it's worth.
They do. And, you know, I was amazed at how good the system was in Michigan where our granddaughter was trained. And she had to have so many hours, like 40 hours of driving with, say, for example, her parents or somebody like that. And I think she had to have driver's ed, didn't she? I'm not positive on that. And then it was quite a transition for her to get her license. And they did a fine job. Back in Kansas, you could either take driver's ed or you couldn't. But if you took it, you got a discount on insurance. So I took it. And boring, but I took it. But no, down here in South Carolina, we have, I don't know, third worst in the nation, something like that, Phil. It's pitiful. It really is. And I think it's because of that. Now, I will say this, going to the DMV here has been much easier, much more cordial, and move faster through there than any place in Kansas I was ever at. And they were snotty and cooperative, and I do like South Carolina's way of doing things.
Well, years ago, we had a real problem, lines forever, and waiting and employees that didn't quite care, and I don't know who or how, but somebody stepped in, and it's totally different. Of course, now everything, you know, is appointment, so that kind of helps too. But I had to, somebody stole one of my dad's cars in late December, and right out of his driveway, and man, there is a lot of that. The sheriff's department is days even calling you back, so we had to go down there to file a claim. That's another story, but to make sure the DMV knew that we had we'd no longer had the car nor the tag to return, I couldn't find an appointment in Upper South Carolina except Fountain Inn. And of course, it was the end of the December, end of the month. That's when everybody floods the DMV anyway. And we went down there. I got him a first appointment of the day, and that was a nice little place down there. So, and of course, that's a long way from you, but it's only about 15 minutes from his house up 385. So we had a good experience down there.
Well, that would make it difficult, I'll tell you. Well, that's one of the first things I had done. I went down to Cars LLC down here in Greer. It's in the southern part of Greer. And I had an alarm put on this truck, and I had an alarm put in the Avalon. It's a little more involved in the Avalon because it had a remote start on it, and don't buy a remote start factory installed. The factory, the ones that Car LLC puts in is marvelous, and it's about $400 when I had it put in, and I never regretted it for a moment. And I can remote start that from inside of Lowe's. If somebody breaks a window and jumps in, the second they touch the brake, it dies. The alarm goes off. They can't put it into gear. They even have some now that you can be standing here and start your car in San Diego through an app on your phone. I think you got to pay for that. But it's been terrific. And I even have an alarm on the camper door, or the whatever you call it, topper on the truck. And believe me, it'll wake you up. It's not like these cheapies on the car where it honks the horn. So I thought it was a good investment. But we've never had any problems out here as far as that goes. Well, Phil, I got to go. Sitting here in the driveway with Bernice.
Hi, Phil.
And we're back, and we're just going to leave that feed back there. It's wrapped securely and in the carport. And we're going to drop it out on a two-wheeler because we can't lift it. And so it's going to stay there for a day or two. It's supposed to be sunshiny this afternoon, but I sure haven't seen it up here. Good to hear you, my friend, and talk to you later. W4NGU, N0TR73.
Okay, Tom, enjoyed it. Well, if it's going to be sunny, it's got a long way to go from where I'm at looking up. But it could burn off quickly. Y'all have a good time. W4NGU, clear.